Hello everyone, Reverend Steve here. Thank you very much for listening in. This is the talk for this Sunday, and the reading is John chapter 20, verses 19 to the end. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. It's a really affecting reading, isn't it? Just reading out loud there, it comes really to life when you read these things out loud. I wonder how different it would have been if, after Jesus' death, he had ascended straight to heaven. He hadn't had these few weeks back among us. I think it would have been a completely different story. I mean, I'm not even sure that the disciples would have changed from kind of cowards into lions had they just had the evidence of the empty tomb. What they needed was to be reassured. What they needed was leadership, people who would make them, help them to go forward with confidence that what they had was the truth. Another way of putting it is that Jesus came back as an act of kindness to his followers. He came back because he wanted to give them something that they could feel confident in. He wanted to give them proof. I think that's rather interesting, isn't it? I mean, you know, he knows us. He knows that we need a lot of convincing sometimes. He knows that we can be very fearful. But the other point is this, that God doesn't expect us to believe in the unbelievable. God doesn't just give us a proposition or something and say, "Go on, go and believe in it." He wants us to use our minds, our brains, everything. And he wants us to be convinced properly, with proper evidence. And I think that's completely the opposite of what I used to believe before I was a Christian. I never really understood. I thought it was all, everything we were called to believe was ridiculous. But it's quite the opposite. It's the first week and the followers are locked in a house and they're too frightened to go out, which sounds rather familiar, doesn't it, at the moment to all of us. They are fearful. And it's interesting, these primeval fears that come upon us when we're worried about what's outside. They're worried about the authorities. Of course, one of the original people isn't there, and that's Thomas. And that's interesting. I wonder why he's not there. Maybe he was a bit of an awkward cuss. Maybe he was one of these people who didn't do well in a group. I don't know. Suddenly, Jesus appears. It's almost like he's transported in. We're not quite sure how he got in. And his first word is, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." I could almost stop there, you know, because I think that's really what he's doing. He's bringing peace to people, bringing peace to these troubled folk and giving them the courage to go on. He gives them a gift. He breathes the Holy Spirit into them, into their lives. And it's a small detail, but it's beautiful. And basically, it's a life changer for them and for us. And he says, "If you forgive people, they are forgiven. He's giving them authority, isn't he? Authority. And that's strong. And I wonder if behind that is a call in these days for us to forgive others. You know, I wonder if there's anyone in our lives that we need to make up with, we need to make amends with. I was talking to someone the other day who said that they'd made amends with their neighbours in this period. Or maybe their neighbours have made amends with them, I don't know. But the point is that I do think we think life now is just too short not to get on. And then there is dear old Thomas. I always think that Thomas gets a bit of a bad press. Because in one sense, he's not doubting. He's just wanting some proof. Maybe he's one of those learners who needs to see things in order to learn something. Maybe he's not so good at concepts, but he's good at the concrete business of putting 2 + 2 and it equals 4. And I think that's okay, actually, because some of us need more convincing than others. And that's just how we're made. The other thing is there's faith here. He wants it to be true. He wants to see the wounds. He's not saying go away. He's saying I want to know. And sometimes when we just want the truth, we want to know a bit more about God, and we want things to be right with God, that's faith. That's genuine faith. Maybe he's not there because he's hurt by the death of his friend. He just can't face being with other people. He can't quite bring himself to believe that there's a happy ending. You know, maybe he's a pessimist. I don't know. A week later, Jesus appears again, and he says the same thing. Peace be with you. So we better listen to that. And he tells Thomas that he can reach out and literally put his fingers into the wounds. It is really graphic, isn't it? Really graphic. He, of course, also says, for those of us who don't have that luxury, that gift, that our faith is even more special because we haven't had this kind of direct eyewitness evidence. What do we make of this? I think it's this. Jesus takes with him into eternity his wounds, reminders of suffering and the suffering that we go in, we suffer as well. The pain will be gone, but the pain has happened. And the wounds are evidence of what Christ went through. And in a way, we are all wounded too by different things. In a sense, Christ's wounds honour anyone who has gone through suffering. But every bit of our life matters. I think the other point I'd make, finally, is that when Christ ascends, when he goes back to be with the Father and the Holy Spirit in the eternal Trinity, he is still a person. He doesn't go back as a spirit. He doesn't go back as anything other than still one of us. He is a person at the right hand of God. A person like us, an embodied person, a person who has known and suffered pain and knows what pain is. And I find that extremely uplifting and a very happy thought for today. Amen.